Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning. I'm John Moore. I live in Beulah. I'm opposed to the uncontrolled growth and unchecked expansion that is occurring throughout the county in the name of economic development. Since becoming involved with my community of Beulah in opposition to expansive construction and development in our area that violates zoning and planning standards, I have attended numerous gatherings, including Escambia County Commissioner meetings, town halls, Florida West Economic Development Alliance executive meetings, and community discussions concerning development and economic growth in Escambia County.
So the forum for the Escambia County Commission meeting on Thursday was actually kind of interesting. I usually watch the forum, but you know, a lot of it is not that. Some of it's good, some of it's not, okay? Not everybody in the public forum should be on the radio. Just put it that. But sometimes you get really interesting stuff. And I thought that John Moore, his comments were, I don't fully agree, but I recognize his concern. And I think it's an important thing, some of the stuff that he was saying.
I've witnessed executives of various organizations approach this podium to explain the incredible potential of Escambia County and the many opportunities for economic development that are available with the prospect of attracting high-paying jobs, tourism, and capital that will make us an attractive destination for people, job creation, and even more growth.
Yeah, no, and you know what he's doing is really smart, by the way, because he's about ready to criticize a lot of this stuff, and he's showing that he understands it, he's showing that he's been paying attention, and he's got concerns, which, I mean, this is actually a really good presentation of ideas, even if you don't fully agree with him. But what he's basically getting ready to say is, you know, all of this economic development stuff, all of this growth for growth's sake, always growth, more jobs, more all, that's a real problem. And he goes and even names some of the organizations that are responsible for it.
I read mission statements and about us pages from various organizations involved in this effort, Florida West Economic Development Alliance, First Place Partners, etc. I'd read them out loud, time doesn't permit. There's one missing element in the statements for these organizations, quality of life for the individual. There is zero concern for the communities and citizens who will be impacted by the uncontrolled, unchecked industrialization and urbanization of our communities, because these entities are not mandated to care about the human aspect of this intrusion on their lives.
So, and by the way, I skipped one clip I want to add in here. I just want to make sure I get it played because it was part of his comments. I just went out of order a little bit.
The defining theme seems to be the economic...
This is for the mission statements.
The defining theme seems to be the economic development and injection of capital into the area. The boards, alliances, and groups driving this progress are often financed in part by our tax dollars. The citizens funding these organizations are the very people who will be hardest impacted by the decisions made by this board. That impact is not always an improvement in quality of life.
All right, so what's he saying? And I know he said it very well, but just in case, you know, it didn't make full sense to you, what he's getting at is you have all these organizations with big hitters in town who are very involved in what we sort of generically call economic development, trying to bring companies and jobs to the area. And you think, what could be bad with that? Well, you know, more isn't always better. Sometimes more is just more. And when more puts stress on infrastructure like police, sheriff, like roads, like creating stormwater problems because you create impervious surfaces, because you put all this asphalt down in order to build those houses and those businesses, you know, right? When there's more people trying to get to the beach, when you pick your problem, okay? But you can see that, you know, more growth does carry a consequence. And some of the organizations, and by the way, full disclosure, I'm pretty good friends with a lot of the people that are on these boards, you know, so, you know, I know a lot of these people. I think it's unfair to say they don't care about quality of life. I think they do very much. They believe that more jobs is quality of life. They believe that better jobs for example, your kids, so that they don't have to move away and then, you know, stay away because they need to get a good job. Like, that's some of the stuff that they're working on. But the concern is, and I certainly sympathize with John Moore's concern, is it seems like they're doing this without nearly enough consideration for quality of life impacts. It seems to be hoarding, you know, gather all the jobs you can, and not really thinking about, well, is this a smart way of gathering? And how is it impacting the infrastructure, especially in a county where we just don't do a good job of planning ahead for where to build roads and where to provide schools and that kind of stuff? And the last piece of it, he says the public funding part is a problem because it seems like the people are paying in order to benefit other people coming here, but not necessarily to benefit themselves. And so you're now using, you know, for example, one business's tax dollars in order to create a competitor for that business. Or you're using one homeowner's tax dollars in order to create a worse commute for that very homeowner, right? So it seems like it's not just that it isn't a benefit, but it's actually an adversity. Or you're overstuffing the schools with kids that this guy is paying or this woman is paying taxes in order to make for better education for her kids. That's generally speaking kind of the argument. Last comment he had.
Citizens have one and only one advocate, you. We elect you to be our representative. Are you looking out for the people who elected you or the government and the corporations who now fund and advance your careers? We have little recourse to protect ourselves and our way of life after you, the politician, have assumed office. Would you please take this into consideration the next time a group of people show up wearing coordinated colors at your town halls and your board meetings? When people agree with everything you're doing, they don't feel the need to get involved. Thank you.
I think these are really valuable comments. There are a lot of people who are so actively working on economic expansion, economic development, more businesses, more jobs. And I don't think there's enough balancing of the costs and of the interests. And you know, where the money comes from is no small matter, too. The public financing of a lot of this stuff. Now, I don't go quite as far as John, who seems to be sort of against all of this. I just would like to see more balance in the conversation. And again, I know a lot of these people, I know they care deeply and dearly about the community. So it's not fair to say they do not care. But I do think there's not enough of that, at least in the public conversation, you know, about the cost and the challenge and the adversity. And the look, I love Navy Federal. I'm a big believer in Navy Federal. But how often were people really honest about the fact that Navy Federal was going to become a competitor for the labor force, for local companies? You know, I can't tell you how many employees have like left news radio to go work at Navy Federal. And I know a lot of other people have the same view. Like, it's great for the people who go there. It's great for the people at Navy Federal. But is it good for the local businesses to have that competition? Maybe. But have the conversation, right? Consider both of those sides to the discussion. That's the best takeaway from John Moore's comments that I want to have. Now, the other thing that happened in the county commission meeting is you had, and it was most in the forum, in the open forum, Larry Downs Jr., who is what I would describe as one of our local agitators, local gadfly, a lot of times says things that I think aren't worth sharing on the air, did have one that I thought was very worth sharing. I'll share that with you when we come back. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Well, not seeing any accidents right now, but we are starting to see a little bit of backup on I-10 eastbound as you approach the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. But other than that, things are looking good. 98 even looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've got an import you need to get it serviced, you've got a Honda, a BMW, a Lexus, a Porsche, a Mercedes, a Genesis, Audi, Jaguar. These are good cars. You know, you might pay extra to get them. Luxury vehicles, and you don't have to pay extra to service them. You don't have to go to the dealership. You don't have to take the drive, cost the gas, whatever, to go to, you know, a Porsche of Destin or whatever, or it's in Mobile. You can take it right here to Bobby Likas on Davis Highway or now on US 29 across from the Walmart. Domestics, they work on those too. Diesel engines, yes. You know, your big trucks, you might think that has to go. So, yeah, Bobby Likas, they work on those. Gas engines too, of course. The idea is to see the cars and the trucks before they have the big problems, to do the preventative routine, scheduled maintenance, so that, you know, you might take it to the car doctor a little bit more often, but you want to avoid having to take it to them for the catastrophe. That's the philosophy embodied in their website name, carclinicservice.com, like a healthcare clinic for your car. And if you have fleet, so if you oversee a group of cars, they do fleet work. So GSA Fleet, Merchants Fleet, Cox Automotive, Fleetio, Donlin, Enterprise Fleet Management, and more. Whether it's an individual car or multiple cars, Bobby Likas can take care of you on US 29 across from the Walmart or the classic location on Davis Highway.
Hello, my name is Ed Carson. Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, and it's not slowing down. Our parks, roads, bridges, and other community amenities have to keep up. I'm urging you to vote yes for the penny sales tax to replace the current half cent tax. This will fund essential community improvements, enhance our quality of life, better protect our families, and improve public works. Please go to SantaRosaYes.com for more information.
Political advertisement paid for by Building Santa Rosa Tomorrow Today. Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One of the most popular Christian hymns in the world is Jonathan Newton's Amazing Grace. And the word grace simply means unmerited favor. And grace is beautifully displayed in the cross of Jesus Christ. Grace is a step beyond mercy. Remember that mercy is withholding a penalty that you justly deserve, and of course we love mercy. However, grace is not only withholding a penalty that we rightly deserve, but grace is also giving us something that we have not earned. The fact is that we're all sinners, and the Bible says we deserve punishment for our sin. But God's grace says, here's Jesus, and he has perfectly paid your sin penalty and mine. Believe on him today. That's amazing grace.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
Carissa Burgosh is running for school board to make sure our children are not harassed or bullied. A lifelong educator, Carissa knows the number one issue affecting education is a lack of discipline. When the Florida governor appointed Carissa to the school board during an emergency vacancy years ago, she ensured that bullying and fighting were not tolerated and our schools were much better then. Choose proven leadership. She's from here and will remain here.
Hi, I'm Carissa Burgosh, asking for your vote on November 5th for school board District 4, and I approve this message.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Lesson number...
Hey, weather forecast said it's going to snow tonight.
What do you want me to do about it?
Larry Downs Jr. Plumbing LLC, because fecal matters. All right. Man, I don't even know where to start. I guess I could start out with this poem I wrote on my way here. It's a poem, so this is, you know, this is kind of like expression, freedom of expression, and I'm hoping nobody violates my rights, my First Amendment right.
Oh, man. What's it going to be? Larry Downs Jr. is a... Well, he's something. he's always got something to say. He's a local plumber and an MMA guy and a local political gadfly. And a lot of times he says things and I think, oh, Larry. But he has been involved in a sort of a rolling dispute with District 5 Commissioner Stephen Berry, the chairman of the county commission, who is up for re-election, over the question of profanity in the public meeting. Let's call it mild profanity. FCC violations that everybody says all the time, right? I can't say it on the air, but I wanted you to hear this because I thought it was very interesting. There's a lot to be gleaned from this particular interchange that took place on Thursday. So here goes with the poetry reading from Larry Downs Jr., slightly edited for radio.
Once upon a time, there was a county commissioner who told me that I couldn't say sh**.
All right, Larry, you're going to be escorted out. Larry, you
after
can't curse.
I let
Larry.
It, after I let it slip, he scolded me like a little kid.
Wes.
Then the next time,
Wes.
He told me.
Larry, you're not going to curse at the podium. You don't have the right to curse. Larry.
He told me
Larry, your time's
that
up.
I couldn't spell.
Your time is up.
S-H.
Your time is up, Larry.
Oh, Barry. I think I have a First Amendment right here.
You don't have the right to curse.
Oh, that's not a cuss word.
You already said it. Please. We've been through this.
Already. We'll see.
Next speaker is Keith Bowie.
Hey, am I going to be able to speak on the...
You can speak as long as you don't curse, Larry. Sure. I love talking to you.
That's not cussing.
You, You said the word. Larry, I'm not arguing with you. You're not going to curse, and you're not going to spell. You're not going to spell words.
Arguing with me.
It's not an argument. Please. Keith.
So, I think the question here, number one, it's kind of weird like Stephen Barry doesn't direct the deputy, because the deputy did escort him away, but escort like gently sauntered over near Larry and Larry left and went and sat down. You know, I mean, it wasn't like he got taken out of the meeting or anything, just away from the podium. Like I said, there's been this kind of on again, off again battle between him and Stephen Barry over the question of what I would call light profanity, FCC violations, but still not any major, you know, bad words. And he likes to wear a shirt that has the word on it, okay, as part of his provoking. So should you be allowed to use what I might call PG-13 profanity at a county commission or a city council meeting? And, you know, it's kind of a weird moment where Stephen was like, Wes, please help me. I don't know what to do here. And when Wes stood up and told the deputy, I guess maybe Wes is, Miranda, the county administrator, is responsible for telling the deputies when to intervene. I would have thought the chairman would have that authority. But we'll come back to this in a second, because there's a lot to talk about here, actually. And my short question for you is it a First Amendment protected thing to use what I'm, again, calling PG-13-type profanity in a public meeting? 437-1620. You may not like it. You know, I disprefer it. But is it protected at a meeting? Is that First Amendment-protected speech? 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to talk about right now, but we're still seeing some delays backed up off I-10 eastbound. You're heading from Pine Forest all the way through the construction zone on Highway 29. Everything else is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So here's my somewhat take, okay? I would prefer people don't swear in the meetings. But they do say other words, and even I on the air say other words that some people would prefer me not to say that are not SEC violations, right? Language is a funny thing. People say what they're going to say. And if the First Amendment protects speech, it protects the speech you don't want to hear. I'm with Larry on this. Not because I want him to use these words, but because I think he has a right to use them. Now, the rulings, as I understand it, regarding profanity, there hasn't been a definitive ruling on this, as far as I can tell. But the rulings, as I've read them and understand them, seem to be saying the following. If you're disrupting the orderly conduct of the meeting, like, for example, chanting and tambourining, you can be removed. Okay? But if all you're doing is swearing, probably not. And remember, we have this issue with the what's in the school books, right? Where we actually passed a law in the state of Florida that if a school book, I think the way the law works, I'm going to remember now that if the book contains a passage and somebody wants to read that passage at the school board meeting, you have to let them or get rid of the book. The theory being, if you can't read the book, then it shouldn't be in the library. Well, it's also allowing vulgarity in the meeting is kind of the byproduct of that. And so it's kind of protecting that. Now, do you want public meetings, you know, our civil discourse to involve things that children shouldn't be hearing? Well, it's not ideal. But are the meetings for children or for adults? Well, they should be for everybody. Okay. Do children not hear these words at school? I mean, you know, there's a lot, right, to be talked about here. But in my opinion, I don't think you should have the sheriff escort somebody away from the podium because they use what I'm calling light profanity. Seems pretty arbitrary. Should people restrain themselves? Sure. But where is that line? And I think Larry Downs Jr. is on the right side of that line. And actually, I worry about employing the sheriff to thwart somebody's free speech. You know, poor deputy. You know, he's in a position of, oh, do I or don't I? So, yeah, I think he's making a valid point that is probably, I think Larry might be pressing to get either arrested or to file a lawsuit of some kind. He's probably, he wrote a kind of a page explaining it, but it didn't add much to the conversation. So this is not over, but it is awkward, embarrassing, but it's a fair question to ask. 729 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm getting a ton of texts here, and sorry. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Very interesting conversation there.
Thank you.
An essential-only travel ban has been lifted for parts of western North Carolina, devastated by the remnants of Hurricane Helene. Governor Roy Cooper making that announcement yesterday in his weekly update. While he says the ban is lifted in some areas, they're still reminding people if you drive through there to use caution. There's still over 400 roads that are closed. A dozen pro-Palestinian protesters have been arrested after demonstrations at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities on Monday. The protesters had barricaded themselves in a hall on campus. And apparently the cheapest tickets for this year's World Series are, well, not that cheap. The cheap seats are going from between $1,000 and $1,400 if you plan on going.
All right, David. By the way, just a couple of quick texts in here. Somebody says, Larry, even though he trained with him in the past, is in the wrong here. There shouldn't be profanity at the meeting. Somebody else says, cops shouldn't be enforcing things that aren't illegal. There's nothing illegal about using these words. I wouldn't use them. And somebody says, I applaud Escambia for trying to keep order. A lot on both sides of this conversation, by the way.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Early voting starts today in four more states, Hawaii, Missouri, Utah, and Wisconsin. Vice President Harris tells reporters there she wants the federal minimum wage increased.
Hardworking Americans, whether they're working at McDonald's or anywhere else, should have at least the ability to be able to take care of their family and take care of themselves.
Former President Trump in Greenville, North Carolina, criticizes the federal response to Hurricane Helene.
When I'm president, North Carolina will get the support you need and deserve, and that is without question. She didn't get the proper support from this administration.
A new Reuters Ipsos poll gives Harris a 46-43% lead over Trump nationally. Harvey Weinstein is reportedly diagnosed with bone marrow cancer in jail in New York. The former movie executive is facing a retrial on sex crime charges there and serving a 16-year sentence on rape charges in California. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 58 degrees, sunshine, a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Pensacola. A Pensacola man has died after a motorcycle crash in Pace on Monday. FHP says the 48-year-old man was riding his Harley Davidson on Garden View Road when a teen driver pulled out in front of him last night about 6:30 p.m. The rider died at the scene. The 16-year-old driving the car was not hurt. The crash did temporarily cause some roadblocks on Berry Hill and Garden View Roads. An investigation into that crash continues. FDLE officials say two Pensacola men are now facing child sex crime charges. 21-year-old Mason Radford and 52-year-old Ryan Trainer are both accused of sending messages to a person they believe to be a 14-year-old girl and soliciting them for sex. In both of those cases, the girls were actually undercover law enforcement officers. Both men have been booked into the Escambia jail. Radford is held on $475,000 bond. Trainer has been released on $50,000 bond. Well, this week we'll learn the state of the university at UWF. Dr. Martha Saunders was originally scheduled to give that speech a few weeks ago, but due to severe weather to our east, the campus was closed for that day. She'll now be giving the state of the university address here on News Radio 92.3 tomorrow morning during the pep talk program. You can catch that Wednesday at 9:30 in the morning. Early voting is open across Escambia County. There's 10 locations to choose from.
You can go to any one of the 10, so whatever's most convenient for you.
That is Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender. He says you can go to any of the locations because they use a ballot on demand system. They'll print off your ballot when you get there. But they do not use that same system on Election Day as a fail-safe against electronic issues like power outages. To find an early voting location near you, check escambiavotes.gov. And early voting also open in Santa Rosa County. UWF is planning to launch their new WAVE program. That's the Watercraft and Vessel Engineering program. That means students can get hands-on experience with maritime professionals and teachers at the Port of Pensacola.
And it's an expansion of C3D, Science, Engineering, and Art, which is in downtown Pensacola in the Museum of Commerce, where we've been prototyping for almost 8 years now. And so this will allow our group, as well as mechanical engineering, to work directly with American Magic.
That's the Haas Center Executive Director, Nicole Gielison. She calls it a truly unique opportunity and says she's hoping it'll draw more maritime business into Pensacola. Governor DeSantis and a group of doctors that are opposed to Amendment 4 held a press conference yesterday. They're asking voters not to support the amendment, which would guarantee a woman's right to abortion until fetal viability.
Politics, sadly, can bring out the worst in people. There is never an excuse for flagrant dishonesty.
That's radiologist and lawyer Dr. Stephen Christie. He says the current law protects women, keeps physicians in decision-making, and protects parental consent. The governor claimed that Amendment 4 is being funded by out-of-state groups that aren't being honest about its true implications. Now, Amendment 4 is on the ballot for November. That would need a 60% approval to pass. It's 7:35 right now. News Radio 92.3. John's got her traffic.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. No accidents to let you know about right now, but we are seeing some backups on I-10 eastbound, backed up from 9 Mile all the way through the Highway 29 construction zone. So that's about a 20-25 minute delay right now. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And we are looking for a beautiful day, sunny, 82 for a high, low down to about 55 tonight, more beautiful and dry weather throughout the week, mid-80s, lows in the mid-50s, no rain in the forecast all the way through next week. Right now we've got 58 degrees in Pensacola, 60 in Gulf Breeze, 55 in Milton. Our next news at 8, we've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Shipping giant Maersk has raised its earnings guidance once again as attacks in the Red Sea prompt supply chain disruptions and, by extension, higher freight rates. It's the fourth time in less than 6 months that Maersk boosted its yearly earnings expectation as the Red Sea conflict has a larger-than-expected impact on the world's supply line. The company controls nearly 20% of the world's container ship trade. Major drugstore chains like CVS and Walgreens have closed hundreds of stores nationwide as part of cost-cutting measures. America's largest retailer sees that as opportunity. Walmart has launched a delivery program that gives customers the option to get their prescriptions delivered right to their door. Walmart says deliveries are now available in 6 states. It expects to start deliveries in the rest of the country by January. On Wall Street, futures are lower, putting the S&P 500 on track for a second losing day. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Experience the captivating musical journey with Celtic Thunder in their brand new show, Odyssey. Join Damian McGinty, Emmett Cahill, Neil Byrne, and Ronan Scollard as they explore a fusion of traditional and contemporary Celtic music, a mix of great new songs and beloved fan favorites. In Odyssey, Celtic Thunder continues their musical evolution.
Get your tickets now for Celtic Thunder at the Sanger Theatre on October 23rd.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
I'm Don Gates, and I stand with Governor DeSantis to stop illegal aliens from invading our state and draining our resources. I'll never allow illegals to get Florida driver's licenses, and I won't spend a penny of taxpayer money on illegals so long as there is one Florida veteran who needs our help or our care. Law enforcement is supporting me because I will give them the tools, the laws, and the backing to arrest illegals who commit crimes and get them out of our country. If Biden can't, or if Biden won't, then Florida must protect our borders and preserve the rule of law. And that's why I'm running for the Senate.
Don Gates, trusted conservative leadership, fighting for Northwest Florida. Paid by Don Gates, Republican for State Senate.
Next time on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Afternoons are better on News Radio 92.3. Top trending stories, financial news, sports, flight information, interviews, traffic, and the most accurate five-day forecast. This is Chris Bryant along with Austin Price. It's Pensacola Right Now. Happens just after 4 on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 till 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 741 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Judging by the 30 texts I've received, the most interesting thing on people's minds right now is a conversation we're having about Larry Downs Jr. using the word that starts with an S and rhymes with hit in the county commission meeting. And Stephen Barry instructing Wes Moreno, the county administrator, to have the deputy escort him away from the podium, which he did in an extraordinarily light touch way, just kind of walked up next to him and then they kind of walked away. But since it's your deputy, Sheriff, by the way, Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah. Is your deputy is not the arbiter of the First Amendment. Your deputy is there to do what the county administrator or the chairman tells him to do in the meeting, right? Within reason.
That is correct. That is correct. The chairman of the Board of County Commissioners, whoever's running the meeting, has control of that meeting. And they typically can determine who stays and who goes based upon whatever behavior they deem appropriate or not. It's very difficult for a law enforcement officer to get up there and say, no, Mr. Chairman of the Board, I don't think that that's appropriate. And this has been going on for decades. I remember years ago I was a police chief, and Nathan Monk was up at the podium. And they wanted him removed.
Yeah.
So I happened to be there. I walked up to him. We both stood there for a while until the timer went down because I didn't really feel like it was the appropriate thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But technically that was the city council president at the time. That was trying to get that done. So cooler heads prevailed, and we mm-hmm. both walked off, and it worked out fine. And I do appreciate Mr. Downs going ahead and walking away. He made his point from mm-hmm. from what I understand. But that's very difficult for our deputies to have to deal with because we got to keep our personal stance or our personal opinions out of it. And it's not whether we think that the person should be removed; it's whether the chairman or whoever's running the board. Or the meeting at that time determines it's appropriate or not.
And hypothetically, if a court eventually found that it had been a violation of Larry Downs' rights to have him escorted away, and your deputy was acting at the behest of the chairman, your deputy's job is hired to do what the chairman says, right? It's not his job to cut the fine nuance of what the Supreme Court's going to decide is protected speech or not.
That's correct. And again, imagine, if that's the case, then all of our deputies would be the one that's deciding who stays and who goes.
It's not like an out on the street situation where they actually are tasked with deciding if somebody is violating a law or is protected or not. But in that kind of a situation, it's different because they're in a controlled space, essentially.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. I knew people would have questions about this, especially since it was one of your deputies that kind of unfairly to him got dragged into this.
Yeah. And if it is civil, then obviously we're going to get sued because we get sued for everything.
For all everything that happens.
Exactly. No matter What happens?
We have a couple of really terrible stories, but I want to wait on that for just a second because we have good things going on. The fair is going on, and you guys are involved in security again this year, right? You got all kinds of stuff that you're using at the fair this year, all kinds of new technology, right?
Well, yeah, we have really the new technology is the cameras, the systems that we have. We purchased five what we call camera platforms. They're basically pull behind trailers with a telescoping camera system on it that we can monitor through our real time crime center. It also records what it sees. So we deployed all five of them, and we have found two additional ones from Florida Department of Law Enforcement that we have out there. So we have seven cameras, and we have drones out there this year. And then we have between 30 and 50, depending on a day and time, the deputies that are actually there. We have our command bus there. We do this for
and
our
And I assume you have other law enforcement agencies, too, both in and out of uniform, typically help?
We're going it alone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's new. All right. I mean, right? That's in the past. Hasn't it been more collaborative?
I think there was about 4 or 5 years ago, the sheriff's office decided, before I became sheriff, the sheriff's office decided they wouldn't work security at the fair.
Oh, that's – okay. That was when there was – yeah, okay.
Were there.
That's right.
But since we've taken it over, we – luckily, we're large enough to have the resources to be able to handle the fair.
Okay.
We've been doing it since I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of a tradition to me that the sheriff's office runs security at the fair. And
fair's been
and we've been doing it.
Trouble-free, minor incidents, normal run-of-the-mill stuff?
I haven't heard of anything.
That's great.
I mean, we also have some lighting. We have some portable lighting because we have, during our security assessment over the last couple of months, really, determined there might be some darker areas.
Okay.
So we put some lighting there, including the intersection out there in front. So right now, again, we're going to continue to be out there in a robust manner, but I haven't heard anything.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Hang on for just a second. Sheriff John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
The only slowdown I'm seeing is I-10 eastbound from 9 Mile all the way through the construction zone on Highway 29. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. God. This story with Tara Alexa Sykes, I believe is her name, this is awful. I mean, this is the kind of thing, like even you had said, when do you see this kind of stuff? Do you tell me what happened? Because I guess she was communicating with this 10-year-old on the Roblox gaming platform or something. And anyway.
That's the basics of it. There was this Tara Sykes was communicating through that social media platform to a 10-year-old. I can simply tell you that the conversation
her relationship. I was kind of confused about that. I thought I had heard that it was the child's mother. Then I hear that it's a relation. It's not just a plain stranger. So what's can you?
Well, I can say that I can't comment about the identity of a victim of child abuse.
Oh, and
so I have to be
okay.
very careful with what I say.
Got it.
And obviously, you don't want to put names out there of victims of child abuse. So I can simply say it's a 10-year-old, and I can say that it's not a random person that she had befriended on this social media platform.
Okay.
There was a relationship.
So this is
beforehand.
Not like out-of-state predator contacts you randomly. Okay, got it. Okay.
This was the communication was set up and designed so that these two can communicate.
Okay.
And I can tell you that much.
Gosh.
But she instructed this 10-year-old to do just terrible things to a two-month-old. Infant to include like dropping the child on a hard floor, potentially drowning, potentially burning the child. Unfortunately, the 10-year-old did fall through on one thing and intentionally dropped the child on the floor. The child had suffered, the infant had suffered some severe head injuries, and as I understand, will survive. But the child did suffer some injuries, some head injuries. And we were contacted by the Gulf Coast Kids House on the 17th, and that's how it started for us. To go further with this Sykes, what she was trying to instruct the 10-year-old to do, also to cut the throat and to burn the adults that she is temporarily staying with. So it becomes very difficult for for us to read this and to think that hey, someone can actually. Do this to can think it, let alone carry out such a thought and such a serious crime.
So I know you have to be very careful what you can say, but if was the 10-year-old the sibling of the 2-year-old?
I will tell you that the 10-year-old did have a relationship with the 2-month-old.
Oh, or 2-month-old, sorry, because I'm just the relationship between the woman and the child, I'm also thinking about the infant. I mean, right. Okay. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and we put it out on our – we started getting phone calls, obviously, about it. A lot of people do know circumstances, more circumstances than I'm at liberty to talk about.
Okay.
And we understood that it would be complicated, but I hope people understand that we want to protect the identity of a victim.
Yeah.
And even though it's very difficult in cases like this. In the past, if you recall, we had a murder-suicide of a woman took the life of her 10-year-old, I think it was 10-year-old mm-hmm. or 11-year-old daughter, and then she killed herself. Mm-hmm. In those situations,
because
you can't
deceased,
help but,
right.
but to put that information out. There's a murder charge there. But this is just about as disturbing as it gets. Every time I read it, I just still can't believe someone could be evil enough to have these thoughts and then to ask and encourage someone to carry them out is just beyond belief.
I am, you tell me, but I'm assuming that the children are no longer available to her, right, at the moment?
Well, she's in jail. No one should be available to her, but that is correct. Again,
and the charges?
Attempted murder while engaged in aggravated child abuse.
And I'm also assuming no charges against the 10-year-old.
No, I will tell you that the investigation is continuing.
Okay.
But you know, because there's a lot here to unwind.
Sure.
But at this point, there are no charges on the 10-year-old at this point.
At this point. Oh.
And again, there will be more circumstances coming out as it becomes more public, but I can't be the one to put this information out.
I got you.
Or I won't be the one to put that information out.
Lighter crimes, I guess. People in Cantonment stole a bunch of AT&T cable and knocked out service for 900 people. Is that right?
Yeah, we had, I think there were some pictures
out
there.
I mean, is it copper?
Media.
Is that what they were after? Or like high quality cabling of some kind?
It's got to be. And they cut, a couple thousand feet of it or whatever it was. And it was obviously very valuable. But what it did is, like you said, knocked out the power of the AT&T.
Yeah, I think it was like phone lines, basically. So twisted pair, I'm thinking, but okay.
Yeah, these people like that, they probably have other issues as well.
We also had a shooting Sunday afternoon where there was a fight and the guy got shot.
Yeah, so boyfriend and ex-boyfriend are at a location. I think it's a house. And they decide, hey, let's take it outside, as historically people have done. And once they're outside, the one guy just pulls out a gun and shoots the other guy in the head. And so we're charged him with, initially it was an aggravated battery. When we looked at it, we upped the charges to attempted murder, obviously, because he pulled out a gun and shot a guy in the head. I'm assuming the other guy thought they were going to fight, but that's not what occurred. So you can't, that ain't cool.
And by the way you said it, I just want to clarify, I don't know that it makes a difference, but boyfriend of girl and ex-boyfriend of girl go outside to fight.
Correct.
Okay, not boyfriend and boyfriend of each other or some.
No,
that's
no,
not
no.
what you meant.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah, boyfriend and then ex-boyfriend of the,
got it.
Of a particular.
On the more of the good news-ish note, you guys have made an arrest in the Chimes Way shooting, right?
Yeah, if you recall, we had a situation over there off W Street. A car was in a roadway near it, and then someone pulled up alongside them and fired a couple rounds and ended up killing one person and seriously injuring another person. Our investigators did a jam-up job reviewing video footage and going backtracking, and we're using our real-time crime center, using some of the camera systems that we have in place, as we've been talking about over the last year or so. Ended up charging 26-year-old, we charged Walter Baker with a crime that left the 26-year-old dead. So Walter Baker's been charged with murder and the death of the one man, attempted murder and the serious injury of the other individual, tampering with evidence, and a weapon possession by a convicted felon. So he's in jail. At least he was without bond, and I'm assuming he still has little chance of bond.
And the last thing I wanted to ask you about is just because we're in the middle of voting already, but Amendment 3, you're a law enforcement officer, the decriminalization or legalization of personal consumption amounts of marijuana for non-medical use, up to 3 ounces, I think, personal possession, which is a lot, for a person just to be carrying around. Thoughts? I mean, I know the law is the law and you'll enforce it whatever the people decide, but do you have a thought one way or the other about whether you want to see this happen?
Right. Well, it's as simple as that. I mean, this is an amendment to the Constitution, so whatever happens, we will enforce it. I've been pretty clear over the last couple of years that low-level marijuana is not on the highest of our priority list. Fentanyl, methamphetamine, those are the high ones. But distribution of marijuana we've seen locally can be a result of some can result in some serious physical, you know, crimes, some shootings and stuff. I will tell you that while it's not high on our priority list, I can't bring myself to support it.
Yeah.
I've talked to law enforcement officers in Colorado, in California. I've talked to all of them, and some of the things that they're seeing, some of the degradation of the society, basically what they call it. I just can't be the one that says, "Hell yeah, let's vote for this." And I'm quite surprised actually that some sheriffs throughout the state are doing that, but that's their prerogative. I just I'm not the guy that comes out and says I think this is a good thing, because I don't think it's going to be ultimately a good thing. Again, that being the case, whatever is passed will obviously enforce it or not enforce it.
Well, a lot of the advocates act like they're doing you a favor, because they're going to free up resources from having to arrest guys carrying around a couple of joints or whatever, and that's going to make your life easier. Do you feel like they're doing you a favor?
No. Again, because we are not arresting people for misdemeanor possession of marijuana, and they're not the ones that are clogging up the prison system. I can't think of anything that it would free us up again, because we're going to continue to make whatever traffic stops for speeding or whatever traffic violation. Our canines do no longer alert on marijuana.
Because
we don't
of the
train
medical,
them
right?
anymore.
For years now, yeah.
And medical, so mm-hmm. we don't even do that. So it's not like it's going to, oh my gosh, we're free to do this other thing or that thing. And then there's another thought that, there's no longer this fentanyl-laced marijuana. You can be sure that this is the just marijuana.
Certified safe.
That's not really the way it goes. People that are overdosing on fentanyl, a lot of times they may not know how much fentanyl's in it, but they know there's some fentanyl in it, or they know there's some more serious drug in that marijuana.
Well, Sheriff, thank you so much for the time. Always thank you for educating us on the things that are going on in our community and for the perspective on the amendment. I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
John Pickens has Traffic on the 5.
Oh, thanks.
Why?
Why?
Because why do you always do that?
I'm so excited.
John Pickens got Traffic on the 5.
If you're heading on Highway 90 heading into Pensacola, from Pace, you're going to see some delays there as you start to get up to that light at Scenic Highway. Also, I-10 eastbound from Pine Forest all the way down through the construction zone on Highway 29, seeing some delays. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the 5s.
This November, we have a choice. We can keep the same old politics of division and distraction, or we can choose leadership we can trust. I'm Gay Vallemont, and I'm running for Congress to bring us together and focus on what truly matters: our economy, access to health care, and protecting our rights. I won't be distracted by headlines and scandals. I'll be working for you every day. On November 5th, vote for me, Gay Vallemont, and let's build a community that works for all of us.
Paid for by Gay Vallemont for Congress.
With 0% financing on one of Volkswagen's most popular SUV crossovers, there's no better time to drive the VW Tiguan from Pete Bohrer Imports. Get 0% APR for a full 60 months, plus an additional $500 of VW loyalty cash. And you'll be driving the 2024 Tiguan S for as low as $28,999. But if you'd rather forego the 0% APR, then take advantage of an additional discount for a low price of $27,499. And the 2025 Jetta S, Volkswagen's top-selling four-door sedan, is now available from a low $22,995. This month, the numbers are adding up to bigger savings from Pete Bohrer Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Bohrer Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualified credit to BCI. Sale price before tag, tax, title, and dealer fees. Royalty discount for qualified VW owners. See dealer for details. Offer expires October 31st, 2024.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Even after 100 recordings, you'll wonder, is it live?
Or is it Memorex?
Oh, 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
The production company behind the movie Blade Runner 2049 is suing Elon Musk's Tesla for allegedly using AI to create unlicensed promotional materials for the robo-taxi. The company says they don't want the movie associated with
design.
92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.